I want to tell you the title of this message, okay? So Roland always likes a title. It's a long title. It's actually called The Banner of Unity. So you can call it The Banner of Unity, Roland, if you want, The Banner of Unity. I've got here, the full title is 2026-2027, The Banner of Unity. 2026-2027, The Banner of Unity. And so I want to begin by reading from John 17, and I want to read three verses, maybe even four verses, starting at verse 20. My prayer, Jesus said, is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. I believe that I'm a Christian. 50 years a Christian. Came to faith at the age of 17. I believe that I'm a Christian because of the Wesley brothers, but not just the Wesley brothers, the Moravians who came from Moravia, came from the former Czechoslovakia, and brought the and landed in Germany. And then the Moravians sent out missionaries all over the earth, and they influenced Charles and John Wesley, who brought the gospel to North America. So I believe that I'm the recipient of that. And in the same way Jesus prays here, he says he's not just praying for his disciples, he's praying for you and me. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through the message, their message, and that they may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Sometimes I'm in the shopping mall, and my wife will say to me, Valerie will say to me, she'll say, sometimes you look like that, and she points over to a husband and the way he's talking to his wife, and I don't like that, why did I even tell you that? Why did I even tell you that? Because it says here, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. We're to be attractive. And I look over there and I watch it for a little while. I watch it, and yes, I see me. I see me, my impatience, I'm not big on shopping. I go through a mall like this, I'm through the mall, I got everything, I don't buy anything, I just identify it, and then I go back later and just get it, I'm not gonna, because I've made my rounds. But here it says that, Father, just as you are in me and I in them, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. That was a beautiful word about sweetness. I'm going to really transcribe all of this, but listen, because we're going to talk about that also this morning. I have given them the glory that you gave me. This is absolutely amazing. That they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, I love this scripture because I'm a 111 man. I don't know if you see numbers, but I see 111 all the time, and it's the Lord reminds me of Mark 1:11, where the Father opened up the heavens and he spoke over his Son. He says, you're my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And I'm saying, Lord, how can I take that? And then I read this, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You've loved them even as you've loved me. I'm a son, You're a son, you're a daughter. It's absolutely staggering. It is absolutely staggering. So John 17, Philippians 4:3. Actually, let me just see here for a moment. Yeah, I'm going to turn to Philippians 4:3. Let me turn to Philippians 4:3. I may have put that in the wrong place. I probably did, so that's okay, but I'm going to read it anyway, because I wanted to touch on this, so it just comes a little bit earlier, but I plead with Yudia and I plead with Sinche to agree with each other in the Lord. So here are two sisters in the Lord who are having a disagreement and are not getting along, and Paul had a pastoral heart. He had a tremendous heart for unity, the unity of the body of Christ, and so he's pleading with these women to get along with each other. They're presently estranged or presently at odds with one another, and he pleads with them. He says, I plead with Yudia and I plead with Sinche to agree with one another in the Lord. And I want to just commend those of you that have stepped towards people in recent times, because some of the things that I share over and over again. It's not just a one-time message, but it's that because of the importance of unity, it's important to step towards those that we're we're separated from. You know, the Bible says that as much as lies within you, live at peace with all men, make attempts. And some of you have done that with varying results, right? I mean, you could attest to that. I could attest to that with varying results, you know. But the results are not on us. They're not on us. The Bible says, as much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. So if we approach them, we're offering a gift that they don't deserve, we don't deserve, none of us, it's not a deserving package here. But I want to commend you. I want to commend you for doing that. There's a song that Mumford & Sons sings, and there's a lyric in there. It says, "Lend me your eyes, I can change how you see." And I want to, and then I was listening to Jeremiah Johnson, and he had this phrase, and this is where language is sometimes different, but it's, I've spoken the same things or believed and acted and lived the same things. It's simply this, to operate from redemption rather than from accusation. Someone else said that there are two voices in heaven, the voice of the accuser and the voice of the intercessor. And we get to, you know, that's when Satan, you know, appeared before God as the accuser of Job. And, you know, we get the opportunity to side with the accuser of the brethren or with the intercessor. We get to choose which side we're gonna give ourselves to. But he exhorts us to operate, Jeremiah Johnson says, operate from redemption rather than accusation. Many times God reveals a sin in another brother or another sister. He reveals something to us, not so that we can have ammunition against them, but so that we can pray for them. Isn't that powerful? Not ammunition against them, but so that we can pray for them. And so lend me your eyes. The Lord would even say to us, lend me your eyes, I can change how you see. He sees things way differently than we do. There was a phrase I loved years ago, and it's actually biblical. It says that if you judge simply by what your eyes see, you're going to come to the wrong conclusion. We need different eyes. We need to be seeing one another. I remember a brother that I painted a house with one time, and he was the strangest of brothers. And I'm a guy, I've told you this before, I love odd people, you know? Like, I just have this thing about some of my friends, you know? I have one friend, he says his blood type is B negative. And so we walked together, and like, we couldn't be more opposite, you know? But I love this brother, you know? He's my friend, and I walk with him. And so I'm painting this house with this very strange man, and he, you know, everybody thought he was strange, not just me, you know? And I'm painting this house. And he's right beside me. We're painting together. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, and I describe it this way in a kind of illustrative way, but, you know, it's that I, it's like a, there was this glint, you know, like if you see something and it makes your eye sort of like it's bright and, it just attracts you. And it's like I saw something in this brother. And it was a treasure in an earthen vessel that I got to see during those moments. And it forever changed our relationship. It forever changed. Now, it probably didn't change him, you know. He had no idea that I thought he was weird, you know. No idea. Now, I'll only say that because we've all got people in our life that think we're weird, you know. Right? I mean, we're all weird. But, and that's okay. That's okay. In fact, I like to say that there are many characters in the kingdom all called to reflect one character. One character. And this man became my friend in a deeper way because I saw a treasure in this earthen vessel. So lend me your eyes, I can change how you see. Proverbs 19:11 says this, a man's wisdom gives him patience. Okay, this is good. Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. I have a brother who was offended by the theological differences of another brother. I mean, it was like he couldn't, it just was like he couldn't handle the theological differences. In fact, I sat with a brother one time and he said, if we don't see eye to eye on this, we can't have fellowship. Now, I wasn't about to tell him at that particular coffee meeting that I actually didn't see things the same way he did, eh? Because he made it very clear that if I had a different view of this theologically, we couldn't walk together, you know? So I kept it to myself, you know, that we were very different with this way. But my friend, who had this theological difference that actually caused him to have a lot of difficulty with his brother, lots of difficulty. And then he was somewhere, this is many years ago, but he was somewhere, and this brother came up to him and gave him a hug. And it undid him. And I got in my notes, undone by a hug. Undone by a hug. Somebody mentioned love this morning, eh? That was, and you know, undone by a hug. I have another brother that went to a meeting one time, and he was having some difficulties in his marriage, and it was a meeting where the presence of God was so, so powerful. And he was undone by the presence. That's why I love his presence so much. He can accomplish more in a moment. Valerie likes to call it the one-step plan. You know, like there's all these things that take so many steps to get to freedom, you know, so many steps to get to where you want to be. And yet in the presence of God, he can do anything. He can do anything. And so much of his work begins in his presence. So much of the work that he does in our hearts, the softening of our hearts. I can't tell you how many times his presence has softened my heart, especially towards another person. Because I'm quick to side with the accuser. I mean, why not? It feels good to accuse someone else. You know what happens is when you accuse someone else, you're actually putting them down and elevating yourself. I'm not as bad as that person, so you get into this trap. But then I repent. I wasn't sure I was going to mention this name. I'm going to drop a couple of names this morning, but I want to mention this man by the name of Russell Brand. Some of you may have heard of Russell Brand. He was a Hollywood actor, you know, very successful man, and podcaster. Weird as all get out, you know, in terms of, you know, like maybe some of his history or the way he looks or whatever, you know. I weird people, I've always liked him, you know. But just 2 or 3 years ago, he gave his heart to Jesus. And I heard him speak recently, and he spoke among many other speakers. But he was the only one I saw that got down on his knees and prayed. He was the only one that lifted up Jesus. And this is what I noted when he was speaking. That's why I like the sweetness part. Because as he was speaking, every so often he would begin to diss someone, you know? He's only 2 or 3 years old in the Lord, you know? He's a young believer. And he starts to diss someone. And then you can see the wheels turning. And then he begins to bless them. You know, even one of his, I don't know how many wives he had, but, you know, one of his ex-wives is dating Justin Trudeau, you know? So he begins to say something about that, and then he blesses Trudeau, you know, like you know, in measure, like, you know. But I wanted to mention him because I love what God's doing. And we gotta get used to this, you know, because as the harvest comes, that was gonna be my word for this year. I think I might have a different word, but it's gonna involve the harvest, you know, the harvest of souls. And there's nothing like a young believer, you know. I mean, they still drop the F-bomb, you know? I mean, they still do stuff that, you know, we're you know, our religious sensibilities are offended by, you know? But God has got a hold of them, you know? It's so beautiful. I love it. So thank God for Russell Brand, and Lord bless him and use him mightily, Lord, for your purposes, Lord. Alice Cooper, that's right. During the... the Asbury Revival that took place not too long ago. I want to tell you two stories real quick about the Asbury Revival. So this Asbury has had revival in the past, but one of the beautiful things that I noted in this revival, there were a couple of things. I mean, the presence of God is the most important and the most beautiful sign of a move of the Holy Spirit, a move of God is the presence of God. But there was a story of these, there were testimonies given, and these two girls got up and they talked about how they were, you know, same classes, same college, all this stuff, but they had an offense had entered in, and they would not speak to one another, they wouldn't look at one another, they were totally separated from one another. And during this revival, they came together. The second thing I want to mention about the Asbury Revival is I was in a hotel room with our grandchildren. This must have been a couple of years ago, whenever it was, and Noah was with me, and was sitting on the couch, and I'm watching the Asbury Revival on the computer, and Noah's there, and he was like a sponge, you know. He's just like, I just loved it. I loved him watching this because it's just like a sensitivity to the Spirit, a sensitivity. You know, the presence of God, you know, touches every generation. Like, it's not, you know, there's no, you know, it doesn't jump a generation. You know, his presence is, and we've been praying, even this morning, praying for the younger generation. Valerie and I were praying. We're praying for the, you know, the children and the young people. That it would be more than just giving your, you know, praying a sinner's prayer and giving your heart to Jesus, but there would be that experience of his presence, the experience of walking with him, of being filled with his Holy Spirit, you know, knowing his nearness. Like, there's just such a precious life on that. So here we go. I'm just going to go a little bit longer because I want to share a couple of things. In 2000, the year 2000, we came into the new millennium. The number one song for New Year's Day was the Millennium Prayer by Cliff Richards. I don't know if some of you aren't even old enough to remember that. Okay, so there are advantages to getting old, you know. So Cliff Richard was a famous musician. You know, probably still living. Is he still living? Anyway, in the year 2000, he wrote. His song, the Millennium Prayer, went to number one on the charts. It was the number one song for as we came into the new millennium, the Lord's Prayer. We all saw something like that. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket science or really overly prophetic to see something significant in that. You know, that we come into a new millennium and we're singing the Lord's Prayer. Like, that's just powerful. In 1999, it became a single in the UK. It became a number one single at the end of 1999, the Millennium Prayer. New Year's Eve in Mar-a-Lago, there was a massive portrait of Jesus Christ that was painted. You gotta hear this. This is just, in New Year's Eve at Mar-a-Lago, anybody not know what Mar-a-Lago is? That's where President Trump lives, you know, and he actually hosted the New Year's Eve party and invited this lady, and I'm gonna introduce you to her just in a moment, and he invited her to paint, and in 10 minutes she painted a portrait of Jesus Christ in 10 minutes. It ended up being auctioned for $2.75 million. $2.75 million. Now, Trump's funny. He's there saying, you know, there's a lot of money in this room. You know, there's just a lot of money in this room. And so he started it off at $100,000, and it got up to $2.75 million. So the clip I'd like you to play, Roland, is not the song. It's the one, it's the more like a documentary. Very short, four minutes long. Another thing I wanted to note that in that room that night, New Year's Eve, was Netanyahu. Netanyahu was in that room. Not to mention the millions and millions of people that would have viewed that and are still viewing it, because the news media, they don't let that kind of stuff go, eh? And so, but you don't have to be a spiritual rocket scientist to see something in this. And as you hear her story, and as you read, as you get to know her in terms of reading more of her story, you get to see how profound this was, that she ended up in this place at the White, you know, at the, well, she's been to the White House as well, but that she was invited by President Trump to paint in front of all these people. And I'm going to read, after I play this documentary, I'm going to read her short telegram after the event and what it meant to her. So let's play the clip first.
People will oftentimes say, man, I didn't know what you were doing, or I thought it was just a big mess up there. And then all of a sudden they're like, then I saw it. And then I thought it was done and you just kept going, but then it just got better and better. And so to me, that says so much about life. I had a really dysfunctional, challenging upbringing. I was on my own by the time I was 15 years old, so it was just really difficult in life. By the time I was 19, I pretty much shut down all the gifts that I had been using prior. So I stopped drawing, I stopped writing. I also loved to write. Just kind of went through this period of about 8 years of not doing much, and was pretty isolated. It led me to see one of my senior pastors, Dr. Alan McRae, who is a counselor and now a life coach. He began to walk me through this process of healing, and I just felt a lot of freedom. So I went home and started drawing again, and it was like my gift had never left. It had gotten better over those 8 years of not drawing. I let him know I was gonna try to paint, and he said, when you go home, to paint, just know that it's God's work flowing through you. So I went home and I set up my easel and my paints, and I did a Bob Marley painting in 2.5 hours. And within that first year, I was painting full time. Within the first day I started, I did 4 paintings in 24 hours. So, I mean, I was kicking them out. I had a desire to do speed paintings, but I wanted them to be worship also. So in my alone time, I would hear God say to me, I want you to worship me like you're a kid again, and you're just dancing for me. And so I was just free to worship God in my alone time. And over time, that started to overflow into my my worship time in front of people, and a lady who had brought her husband to church, and he had been an atheist his whole life. They'd been married 13 years, and it was Easter, so she brought him to church, and he had watched the Shroud of Turin, which is this piece being created. And it was a speed painting, so I had 8 minutes to do this painting. I mean, paint was flying, and it was intense. It was an awesome experience. But he gave his life to the Lord that day, and he told his wife that in seeing that painting is what did it. That he had an encounter with God. So just incredible. It's incredible what God is doing right now through art. And for me, knowing where I've come from and what a broken life I've come from and the incredible amount of healing and wholeness that I've had to walk through in my adult Christian life, and knowing what he's doing is just so exciting. And I just want to be able to give that to other people as well. You know, God is that master creator. As long as we stay on that canvas, he's the one who's going to bring it to completion. So the finished product is something that requires a process to take place. And that process requires that mistakes are made. It requires that effort is put forth and strokes are put on that canvas. I mean, there could be in some people's minds many mistakes on this canvas that have taken place, but it came together to be a masterpiece, and that's our lives.
So beautiful. So Vanessa, this lady we just heard, this was right after New Year's Eve, just this past, when she painted the painting. She says, wow, some moments are God moments. This is definitely one of those moments. A moment when the living God ordains a chain of events to lead to his glory being poured out for the world to see. This was that moment. A room full of souls meant to be touched by his presence. A moment when our president made way for the King of Kings. A moment when all of hell is reminded of the name that is above all names. His name is Jesus. I will never forget that moment. I will never forget what the Lord did this night, here tonight. He touched the heart of the greatest world leader and poured out his spirit unto a people who were not expecting it, but whose hearts were open. What will the Lord do next? All I know is that when I step before him, I will say I did what you asked me to do. I did what you asked me to do. Isaiah 61. Let me conclude. Let me bring this to conclusion, because this, if we go back and get the transcript of the things you shared, you're going to see the significance of the songs that we sang and how I think from beginning to end today, there's been this beautiful painting, just a beautiful, beautiful painting. Isaiah chapter 61. And this touched me in the prayer room, and I'm so glad it was brought out again here, because I need to say something about this. And it just struck me in the prayer room, because I had seen the face of Jesus that she painted, and I thought, here's Jesus, you know. Like being spoken about and you know, like amongst atheists and, you know, agnostics and unbelievers, and here's Jesus being put front and center, and so this something hit me in the prayer room. It hit me when I saw the painting, and it was from the scripture, and I want to read it to you. Isaiah 61, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, the release of darkness from darkness to the prisoners. This is so beautiful. Thank you for the emphasis on evangelism this morning. Tommy Zito's coming back into our city. I mean, he's a gift to our city. Like, it's not about a person. It's like if this were a dream, what would it mean? You know, that's what these things do to us. They shake us. They say, if this were a dream, what does it mean? It means that the harvest is on God's heart, you know? And so it says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, let me repeat this. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God. And all I'm going to say about the portrait and about the face of Jesus is that in Revelation, it says that there are those who are going to run to the mountains and say, and call the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of him that sits on the face. Didn't we talk about the, sing the face this morning? To hide them from the face. And so as much as I'm delighted and my heart got excited, you know, like Jesus, it's going to be the year of the Lord's favor, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God. You know, he cares about the children. There are many things that God's not pleased with. But with his kids, he's delighted. We're his kids. And anyway, this is where I want to end. Hebrews chapter 12. This is my last scripture, and this is where I end. And in Hebrews chapter 12, and just two verses, and that's why I wore these shoes this morning. Hebrews 12. Let me find it here. Hebrews 12. So you see my shoes here. I just got tickled. I had the thought this morning and to wear these. But therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us throw off everything that hinders. If you need help, you need a brother. Come out on Thursday night. If you need a brother, you need some accountability. This is for the men, but the women could do the same thing. As you seek someone out, I need accountability. I need to walk with someone. This sin is just sucking the life out of me. You know, it's strangling me. It's causing me to, you know, not grow in my Christian life. It's just I'm not running to God. I'm running away from him because of shame. But it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Did anybody mention eyes and Jesus this morning at all? I think a couple of times. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I told you that was the last scripture, But I got another one just while we were worshiping. Ezekiel 36. Let me turn to it. I don't even know what it's going to say here. Oh, yeah, I know what it's going to say. You're going to like this because I'm going to also tell you about a good movie. And everybody likes a good movie. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says this. Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone, and I'll give you the heart of flesh. One of our favorite horse movies is called Secretariat, and that's why I put this horse out this morning, and I thought Darren would be here and could say something about it, but I'm going to get a picture later with these running shoes and his horse, because the Lord did something in my heart, and it's beautiful, because it's you can enter into a new year, and especially as we get older, we can say where the steam is not quite the same, you know? Anybody there? No. None of you guys. Okay. A little less steam, you know? But there's a steam giver, a steam maker, you know, a steam, you know, lover of us, you know, who will give us steam in our engines, you know, to run this race that's set before us, if we will fix our eyes on Jesus. And he'll give us a new heart. He'll give us his heart. His heart will beat within us. Secretariat is a great movie. If you have not seen Secretariat, it's a true story of a racehorse, one of the most famous racehorses ever of all time, Secretariat. When they did an autopsy of Secretariat after it died, you got to see the movie. It's powerful. It's a powerful movie. After Secretariat died, they did an autopsy, and they found that his heart was like 10 times larger than any other heart in a horse. Lord, give us your heart. Give us your heart. That's one thing. The Lord likes to stretch us, you know. So come on back up. We're gonna sing that name that's above every name. We're gonna make a declaration. Okay, guys.